Good to hear how excited you guys are. Well, welcome back to Youth Worship. It's been a week, more than a week, since we had our last Youth Worship. But guess what? Next week, there's no Youth Worship once again, because we're going to have a celebration of our 52nd anniversary. They call it the 50 plus 2. Okay, so next week, on the 24th, on Sunday, we will not have worship here in church. We'll be having it at Shangri-La, and that is to celebrate our anniversary. So Saturday as well, we will need some time to prepare, and that's why we will not be having a youth worship. So it'll be good for us to take some time to think about what the church means to us and how we are also going to be or already are part of the church and how we can be involved so much more. So this is always something worthwhile to think about. Well, this afternoon, we're going to go back to Numbers 23, Numbers 24. So it's, of course, once again, good if you can use this time while the prelude is being played to read once again, to recap what we have been learning thus far. Because what we're going to try to understand today cannot be understood just by itself. It has to be seen as a greater collective of what we've been learning thus far. So, well, I'm looking forward very much to worship today. Looking forward to the two chairmen who are going to bring to us, to lead us in a time of singing. They are very wonderfully matched in their clothing. I'm apparently quite matched to them as well, that's what they tell me. Only Pastor Eugene didn't get the memo. So, well, I am looking forward to a good time of worship. And, you know, let's go to God in prayer and let's have the prelude first, and then after which I'll come and pray once again. Okay, let's have the prelude. Well, as I said, we are going back to Numbers 23 and 24 for our message, this youth worship. Well, 2 weeks ago, and I'm not sure whether you remember, but Pastor asked the entire congregation here, who's struggling with understanding Numbers 23 and 24? Well, I don't know about you, but I found my hand suddenly involuntarily moving up, because I realized that personally I struggled very much to understand these few chapters. Do pastors also struggle at times to read the Word of God? And the answer is yes. And very honestly, very personally, I like to tell you that Numbers 23 and 24, they are hard chapters, even for me. But what is the good thing behind it all? Is that sometimes, in the midst of difficulty, sometimes in the midst of struggle. It is during those times especially that we learn the most. Why? Because we are even more, put in even more effort. We just so much more attentive. We are just seeking to do what we can. And that is what I seek to hope. I seek for this youth worship, and I hope for all of you, is that even as, yes, it is can be difficult, but let's try. And through it all, hopefully the Lord will bless. The Lord will open our eyes to see and to understand the word for what it is. And so even as we take some time now to pray, first, let's pray that God will open up His word to us. Pray for yourselves. God, help me to understand. Third, if I may ask this, pray for me that I may able to explain the word a little bit more to all of you. Okay, come, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are just so deeply grateful that we can read your word. And Father, we recognize that at times your word is not easy, but Father, that just reflects the God that you are, that you are not a man. You are so profound. And Father, it is our privilege, it is our, you know, it is our joy now to seek to understand that which is deep in order so that our lives can also become deep and meaningful. And Father, we just commit this time to your hands. We pray that you will open up your word to us. We pray that you will speak to the hearts of each and every single person here as we go through this entire worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Welcome back to Youth Worship. My name is Ethan, and this is Thaddeus. We are so glad you are able to join us for this time of worship.
To those who are new among us, a warm welcome. It is such a privilege for us to be standing before you this afternoon, and we hope you have a meaningful time of worship. Hey, Ethan, how was your weekend last week? Did you catch the NDP?
Yes, I did. I caught it online with my family. How about you?
Me too. I love watching NDP and spending time celebrating the nation's birthday. There is so much, truly, to be grateful for.
I agree. Well, this month, Singapore's birthday is not the only special milestone we celebrate. In fact, next week is our church's 50+2 anniversary.
How quickly time flies. Today, we are so honored to lead in this time of worship as we prepare for our church's anniversary.
As we approach anniversary, the pulpit theme has been taken from 2 Corinthians 3, from glory to glory. Today, as we lead in a time of worship, we would like to take some time to share the thoughts we have. As I reflect on the glory of God in my life, I can't help but recognize the Lord's hand has been with Bethany. Growing up in Bethany, Thaddeus and I have experienced and participated in many ministries and camps. We have both been so impacted by these ministries and recognize how richly we have been blessed through them. Now, as we grew in our faith, we have been given new and more responsibilities and opportunities to serve. From once attending the children's ministry to now learning to help and serve there, or from once being campers at camps to now helping to plan them. We see how God sustains these ministries across generations and continues to bless them. As we reflect on these ministries, we realize that it is only by a faith shared from one generation to another that these ministries were able to grow across the decades. As I begin to serve, I see examples of faith so clearly in the people who have been serving in the various ministries. Some are so busy, yet they still choose to serve, and serve to the best of their abilities. Through their examples, I am inspired to catch this spirit of faith. And that's how I see God bringing Bethany from glory to glory, and enabling her to prosper from a small house church to what she is today. Faith passed down from one generation to another, forming a collective of people with a shared faith for the Lord and His work. The example of those who have gone before us have challenged me to continue cultivating this faith to serve the Lord and grow His church. That is why, for our first song today, we have chosen By Faith. As it is written in the song, it is by faith that the church was called to go, and by faith that we will continue to grow it and to go. Let's sing this song together.
Thank you for your fine singing, everyone. And thank you to the musicians and the AV team for supporting us as well. Truly, there's so much to thank God for as we approach anniversary and a special joy to be found. One aspect of Bethany that has stood out to me in the past year is the Bethany spirit. Over the past year, I've personally come alive to this concept. In the past, I used to attend church mechanically and out of routine, and often served in AV and the custodial ministry out of obligation. It was meaningful to me and something that I knew was good and right, but personally, it was not really something that brought me a lot of joy or that came out of a significant personal love. However, over the past few months, I've witnessed firsthand the examples of the older ones who serve faithfully and sacrificially for the Lord's work. Whether it be spending late nights during camps, long days serving the Lord in various ministries, there is a special and unique spirit of love and service in the hearts of many who serve in Bethany. And they do so with great joy on their faces, exercising such love and patience always. The spirit of Bethany is something those who have gone before us have cultivated. And the challenge is for us now, as the next generation, to catch and carry on this spirit. I recognize that this special heart for the Lord and for Bethany is something that I must cultivate as well. As I've served in various new ministries this year, I've found a blossoming love for the Lord and His work, and a newfound joy in my heart. There grew a desire to want to be there for the church, to be part of the church, and to serve the Lord in whatever ways I can. What was once a routine became precious opportunities to exercise faith and fellowship with brethren. Ultimately, what I've discovered is that desire for connection to the main body of Christ, the church, and it is a desire that I hope you would personally find too. For Ethan and I, this anniversary is our first as members of Bethany, and it is especially precious. Having been reaffirmed recently at Easter, we have declared not only our commitment to our faith, but also our commitment to this church, Bethany. As the next generation, we have the privilege and responsibility of carrying on the spirit of faith and love for the Lord and His church. As we approach anniversary, I wonder what your thoughts are. 50 plus 2 is not just another anniversary, not just another Shang event to just go through. It is a precious opportunity for us to praise and give thanks to the Lord for all He has done for the church and for us personally over the past year. As I have witnessed and begun to appreciate the Bethany spirit so much more in the past year, what is my response? I want to be here for many, many more of Bethany's anniversaries, and I hope that will be your hope as well. Let this year's anniversary be a special time of renewing your commitment to Bethany and your love for the Lord and His church. The song we have chosen is "Oh How Good It Is" by Keith and Christine Getty. The song's lyrics speak of the joy there is to be found in the family of God, the church, and the challenge to live out God's word, bearing testimony of God's glory. May we all be greatly encouraged as we praise Him together. May I invite the praise singers to join us now as we take this song. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Numbers chapter 23, verses 27 to 30, and Numbers 24, verse 1 to 14. In this passage, Balak and Balaam stubbornly attempted to curse Israel for the third time, failing to learn from the previous two failed attempts. God opened his eyes to see a vision of the future, and the Spirit of God came upon Balaam as he proclaimed a third oracle. Numbers 23. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that overlooks the wasteland. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bull and a ram on every altar.
Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you."
Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these 3 times. Now therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor."
So Balaam said to Balak, "Did I not also speak to your messengers, whom you sent to me, saying, 'If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad beyond the word of my own will. What the Lord says that I must speak? And now indeed I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you about what this people will do to your people in the latter days."
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ted and Ethan, for sharing, and for Ted again and Chloe for reading. Well, this afternoon we enter into a time of prayer again. And today I would like to focus our prayer on our church. I appreciated what the chair people have shared so far at youth worship. I like the little activity that Chris and Rain did on Mentimeter to see what you guys have to say about what Bethany means to you. I like what Ted and Ethan shared just now about how Bethany has been such a blessing to them. And truly, as we take time to reflect, we can really find our own personal reasons for celebrating our anniversary next week. But the challenge for all of us beyond celebrating what Bethany has meant to us is to make a commitment in our hearts to do our part for Bethany. As young people, do we have a place here in Bethany? And the answer is yes. Regardless of our age, regardless of whether you were born and bred here or whether you just came recently, all of us can find our place in this church body. Ephesians 4, verse 16 tells us, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are part of the Bethany body, joined and knit together. And every one of us, every part of this body, is called to do its share. What you do today to cultivate your faith, to serve Him, can truly make a difference for Bethany, not just tomorrow, but even in the present moment. And this is something that I would like to pray for all of us this afternoon, that you be committed to finding your place here in Bethany, that you'll keep growing in your faith and doing your part for our sake, and hopefully one day be counted among the next generation that will see Bethany growing from glory to glory. Well, let us go to God in prayer this afternoon. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessing and the privilege to be part of this church family in Bethany. We thank you for 52 years of goodness to us. And we pray and ask that as we celebrate our anniversary this coming week, that you will help us to find a desire, a commitment in our hearts to do our part for Bethany. Please help us to find our place here, to keep growing in our faith and to serve, and that we can truly be counted among the next generation, being part of this glorious work that you are doing here in our midst. We pray and ask for your blessing. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, well, thank you for all those who have been involved thus far. Okay, can you hear me at the back? Is it okay? Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn once again to Numbers and 23, and then the big part of 24. Okay, so I'm going to try at this point of time to see if I can help make this part of the scriptures a little bit more relatable to you. So I'm going to try two things. One, of course, is to help you understand what this part of the scripture is saying, and then how does it apply then to you? Okay? So, before we start, I'd like to just ask you some questions, and maybe that will help you frame correctly how we ought to go into this part of the Bible. You see, in life, if I were to ask you, what sets a person apart? Have you ever thought about it? What makes a person, one person, different from the other? Well, can be various factors, right? But I think one big factor is this thing called, you know, this factor of being able to see. Now, what I mean? Not physical sight. You see, if it's physical sight, then Singapore, we are, you know, many of us, we are, you know, we are done for, because we're all, so many of us are myopic. You know, we are in deep trouble. It's not a physical sight. So what makes a person stand out? What makes a person, if I can use this word, successful? Or rather, set apart? Is this ability to see? But not just physical sight. It means to see, it means to perceive, to understand, to discern. Now, hang on to this thought for a bit. And how do I understand this a bit more? I thought perhaps I can use an example which we're all familiar with, and that is our country, Singapore. So last week was our nation's 60th birthday. So for the National Day celebrations, this time round, my family and I, we did something a bit more interesting. We managed to get a restaurant along Boat Quay. So we actually saw, you know, the whole fireworks. We saw the fly pass and everything else. So together with you know, Teacher Sui, with my boys, and then we had dinner and then watched the whole procession that went on. So I remember, you know, teacher Say was so excited. You know, she's just so eager to see everything. There was a bit of rumbling from a distance. Oh, and she suddenly stand up. Ah, it's coming! But actually, it was nothing. It was just maybe some cars that were a bit aside. But it was so embarrassing because she was the only one standing up and shouting in all the restaurant. And I said, can you please sit down? I'm embarrassed of you. The boys are embarrassed of you. And then, okay, sit down. And then another rumbling came. Stand up again and shout. Ah! This time round, it was the bum boat that was cleaning the Singapore River at the side. I said, come on, can you, you know, contain your excitement a little bit more? Now, finally, of course, the planes came. And then she stood up and she shouted, yeah! And guess what? I also joined her! Ah! Why? Because it was just so, I felt so proud of our country. You know, to see, of course, we understand National Day is a special time. From how our country, you know, we know the history. A small little nation can become today what it is. We look at the Marina Bay area, two decades ago, you know, it was not even there. You know, there was reclaimed land, and then finally, you know, built all the different structures. And why am I saying this? It's because at National Day, we give thanks for good leaders. Good leaders who had the insight, who were able to see a little bit what Singapore ought to be in the future. And that's why we are where we are today, as a little country that can stand out. You see where I'm going with this a little bit more? You see, sometimes it is so important to be able to see things. Why? Because how we see things affects eventually how we do things. And if we see things in a good and right way, we can actually do things that are good and right. But if we see things that are, obviously we do not see things, and we see things wrongly, we end up in a lot of trouble. We stumble, we fall, of course, we end up in trouble. You see, this is an important part to understand. But what is the best way to see things? How should we truly see things? And the only way and the right proper way to see things is to see things the way God sees it. That's how we can truly know this is good, this is right, this is what we ought to do. It is only as we use the lenses from God Himself, then we are able to do what it is. Now, our question today as we go on from here is, what does it mean to see? And that's when we are going to try to study this text a little bit more. Okay? So hold on to what I'm saying to you, and let's try now to understand Numbers 23 and 24. So we know the story. Okay, and then we have to, there's already read to you, but we just need to try to remember, piece together, because this is like a few part series. In fact, when we come back for youth worship, we're going to talk about the next part. We're not done with Balaam yet. This is another part series, a saga that is going on. So we need to understand the where did we come from and where we're going to today. So the circumstances leading to today's text is this. It's one, of course, Balaam was hired by Balak to curse Israel. But twice he already failed to do so. And this is interesting to note because it gives us a clue how was Balaam trying to curse Israel. You see this part here in chapter 24 now, verse 1. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery. So what does this tell us? That in the first two instances, as he sought to curse Israel, well, how was he seeking to do it? He was obviously using sorcery, witchcraft, omens, right? These are the things. So he's using all sorts of underhanded means to try to curse Israel. But what is the beautiful part behind it all? Is that while he sought to do this, God was always resisting him. God was always protecting Israel. So no matter how fearsome an enemy is, even with regards to using all sorts of weird, strange weapons or devices, God is there protecting. There is nothing that can go above or beyond God. Now, that is a beautiful part for us to at least appreciate for the first, as we begin to read this part. So, what did he do? And so in all these times, he tried to curse using sorcery, but God turned it into a blessing instead. God protected, God kept Israel, and turned it into a blessing. Now, the third part, well, how now did Balak and Balaam, they didn't learn the lessons properly. And they now try to find another way to curse Israel. So how did he try to do it? Now, this is a bit silly, but this is what he did. So he set his face toward the wilderness. And why did he do so? So to explain this part a little bit more, it is, you see, now it is not to use sorcery or whatever ways, not to see, to use an omen, for example, to see something of Israel and then use it to curse Israel. Now I'll try to, you know, in his own human wisdom, his own worldly wisdom, let me look at the wilderness. A wilderness means it is sparse, it is barren, it is, it's not fruitful at all, and it is a difficult place. So by looking at the wasteland, they call that, this is the wilderness, perhaps he thought that he might be able to curse Israel to become like a barren wilderness. You see this part here? So that was what he was trying to do. So as I look at the wilderness, hopefully by some means or the other, of course, this is how he Balaam saw things. This is his own human wisdom. Okay, you know, if I look at this bad place, maybe Israel will become like that. I can project this bad, barren wasteland onto Israel. But what did he see? Now, this is the interesting part. Balaam somehow, instead of looking just at the wilderness, he saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe. And then he gave a third prophecy. Not of cursing, but once again, of blessing. So that's how we at least understand the sequence of events that comes unto this part here. Now, if you read verse 3, okay, so Balaam raised his eyes, verse 2, saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And in verse 3, he took up his oracle and said, how do you understand this third prophecy now? You see, if you just read it by itself, you might be able to figure it out, but more often than not, it is hard to figure it out just by reading it. You need to compare and contrast a little bit to see why, what makes this third prophecy different from the rest. Because it is in the difference, then we can see what stands out and what we can learn from it. You see that this part now? So it's, you can't just read it just as another prophecy. It is not. You have to actually to go back to the first two to compare and contrast a little bit more. At each prophecy, there was a very nuanced, but also a very clear angle in which this prophecy was geared towards. So in order to understand the third one, you need to understand the other two, compare and contrast a little bit more. Then you can see what is it about the third prophecy that we can understand. If not, it's just another prophecy. It is not. Okay, so let's just try to work with me and let's see how we can go with this. Okay, so first prophecy, as we remember. Okay, now go back to 23. And 23 begins, verse 7. And he took up his oracle and said, so this is the first prophecy. This marks the first prophecy. And verse 8, how shall I curse? Okay, whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? So what is this part of this prophecy? What is this angle here? It's that God had chosen to bless Israel. And there was nothing anyone could do. Right? How shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? And Balaam had to understand this in Numbers 23, verse 12 now. Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? What is this whole first prophecy? What is one part of this first prophecy about? It's that Balaam had to understand he is nothing but a mouthpiece of God. He had no choice but to speak what God had put into his mouth. This is very clear in the first prophecy. But let's move on. The second prophecy, okay, and this is part here. God, and look at Numbers 23. 19 now. Okay? And this is what we read 2 weeks ago. A God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, verse 20, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So this is just a bit of recap for our the second prophecy. And what is this? This part of the prophecy is saying that ultimately man is fickle, but God is not. Man can easily change their decision, his decision, but God is not like man. And whatever God has promised, God will surely be faithful to fulfill. Whether it is his word, whether it is his covenant, whether it is his promise given. And he cannot and will not be manipulated in any way to change what he has decreed. And in fact, the things that he has said of Israel becomes a bit more clear. One, his presence with them. Right? This is the Lord, his God, is with him. His leading is going to be there. He brings them out. And his strength is going to be for them, like a wild ox. So you see, there is a movement. First one, Balaam knows. No choice. He is a mouthpiece. Second prophecy, this one, he has to understand in more important lessons of who God is. God is not like man. He will not be manipulated. These are the trusts of each prophecy. Now, the third one. Now, how do we understand the third one? And this is, let's understand this part. In verse 23, okay? This is Balaam's own idea. He basically, as he understood about the Lord, he had to be corrected in that sense. Okay, but now let's go to the third one. And now this third one, you realize there is a... Let's note the shift here. There are words that are said in the third prophecy that was never mentioned before in the first and second. And what are those words? Right from the beginning, he said, the utterance of Balaam. The utterance of the man now whose eyes are open. The utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. Now, this is the difference. This is the shift. This is the movement from one, two, and now three. There is a clear distinction here. You see, Balaam now is no longer speaking as one, as simply a mouthpiece of God. Number two, he's no longer speaking as one who is being corrected. He is now speaking as one, a man whose eyes are open. Number two, who hears the word of God. Three, who sees the vision of the Almighty. And that is our message title for today, actually. Who sees the vision of the Almighty. And when he spoke these words, and you read the little part of the prophecy, now you realize there's a depth of understanding that has not been realized before. One, Balaam is able to describe more clearly, describe in a greater extent, the extent of God's blessings on Israel. You see, verse 5, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. And he can describe truly this extent of blessings that God has poured out unto Israel. He shall pour, of course, he shall be like cedars besides the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. This is the extent of Israel's fruitfulness. The extent of a country, a nation that has been truly been blessed by God. What else was he able to understand? He's able even to trace Israel's history from all the way from Egypt's time, right? Verse 8, God brings him out of Egypt. His strength like a wild ox. And now from the time they came from Egypt to the time where they are, a moment, or rather a time where they have immense strength. But what else? And this is actually for next week. With all his eyes being open, he's able to see and prophesy the future. That out of Israel, there will come the Messiah. And this is actually later upon in Numbers 24, which we will talk about in time. But this reflects truly how Balaam is one whose eyes have been opened. Now, how do we actually understand this? How can we actually learn from this? And this is the challenging part, which I hope that you can, you know, try to understand together with me. Now, are there lessons to be drawn from Balaam's prophecies? Actually, yes. The story, as recounted in the Bible for us, are there lessons to be learned from this? Yes, but what are these? First, but we need to set our parameters very clearly. One, are we going to be like prophets? The answer is no. Because prophecies has ceased to exist. We are no longer, there's no longer prophets around. So it's not that we are going to become prophets. What's the other parameter to avoid? The other parameter to avoid is that Balaam is not an example to be followed. We need to be very, very clear on this as well. Okay, Balaam is a person, is a horrible person. He cannot be said, okay, Balaam is my example. No, please, God forbid. Don't ever let it happen to you. But what are the lessons then? And the story of Balaam's prophecies is really a lesson of how we ought to relate to the Word of God. That's what we can learn. And using the three prophecies, let me just try to help you understand this a bit more. Number one, is that when God gives His Word, there must be this thing called compliance. You see, if God has given us a word to hear or a word to speak, then we have no choice but to hear or speak that word as God has intended. That is how we ought to view the Word of God. It is like a command, and we need to comply to it. How should we see God and ourselves? We are just but instruments before God. You know what an instrument is? A piano, right? You play a C. It should come out a C. If it's a D or E or F, it's out of tune. Maybe lousy piano, need to change. Right? You know what an instrument is? This is, Balaam also had to understand this. He was just a mouthpiece of God. You all play the recorder. Everybody plays the recorder, you know, in school. You know, you play, and then, you know, if something goes wrong, of course, first, you go look at yourself. You could be, you know, a bad player, right? Play Titanic, do, 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 right? You know, and... But sometimes it is something that is wrong, it's wrong. The mouthpiece, you are just meant to be the instrument. And when God gives that word, it commands that word, and there is meant to be compliance to that word. That is how we ought to view the Word of God. That is how we ought to treat the Word of God. But not only that. You see, because of our human sinful nature, every time God gives a word, there is a part of us, unfortunately, that seeks for our own way, that seeks to impose our own thoughts upon it. And the next thing that we need to, how do we relate to the Word of God, is that sometimes with regards to the Word of God, we need to be corrected. We not only need compliance, we need correction with regards to it. Why? Because we like to impose our own thinking upon God's Word. See, that's what Balaam tried to do in the second prophecy. He thought, okay, maybe I can just somehow, you know, when God said something, I can change, I can fudge, I can move things around, I can, you know, just sidestep something. God had to explain and God had to correct him. God is not a man. Correction is needed. And we all need to be corrected. I have two boys at home. Half the time, my word to them is a word of correction. Like to throw things around, throw things out the window. I say, stop that. Please, correction. One time, went to the lift. The little one decided, oh, very fun, all the holes around the lift, put the finger inside. You know what happened? His finger got stuck. I was in the fright of my life because the lift got stuck. And I was, no, what is going to happen? I really had to, God, give me strength. I had to really try to yank the lift apart so that he can move his finger out. Now, after that, as they say, hey, don't do this thing anymore.
Correction. We all need correction. And what makes you think that if we face a lot of correction in life, we don't need correction with regards to God's word? We do. Balaam needed that correction. We all need that correction. You see, ultimately, we have to learn that God is God. Let God be God. And we cannot ever manipulate God for our own selfish purposes. Now, this is the next part. What should we ought to go for? What should we ought to seek at the end of it all? As there's compliance, as there is correction, what can we see? What should we look forward to with regards to the Word of God? It's then eyes. We look for our eyes to be open. There is comprehension, and then alongside it, there's change. Take a look. Let's read this part here. The utterance of him, verse 4, who hears the word of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, now who falls down with eyes wide open. You see, what should we ought to seek with regards to the word of God is to truly see nothing less than a vision, not just of the Almighty, but from the Almighty. And what should that cause us to be as we comprehend these things? No, there is such change. We fall down, eyes wide open. We cannot but just stand in awe of who God is. You know, this is such, as I work through this, this is such an important lesson, I mean, personally for my own self. Let's go back to what we talked about at the beginning. How important it is to see. You know, the importance of being able to see, I cannot emphasize enough that importance. You know, I thank God very much for Pastor. Pastor Charlie. So Pastor is of course Pastor. Now, I am also Pastor. Right? But he is senior pastor. So sometimes I think of SP, not just senior pastor. He's the seeing pastor, SP, right? So that's what, and I am very thankful for that. Why? Because sometimes I can't see things for my own self. I have to depend upon him to help me to see things, and that has been it's been so important for me. I remember when we were younger in our student pastor days. One question that I was always very afraid of, every time he would ask, is first, what are your thoughts? After an event, what he's asking is, what do you see? You know, why do I struggle with that question? Because sometimes I wish I can honestly tell him, Pastor, actually, no thoughts, inside nothing. I don't know, I can't see. But along the way, he has helped me to see things at a deeper level, raised up to a greater height. That's what it means. And along the way, it's helped me to understand what does it mean to comply with the Word of God, to be corrected with regards to the Word of God, and of course now to comprehend and to change a little bit more. Now, if this has been 10 years since we are now been in the full-time ministry, and I can honestly say that if not for his help, to help me to see and to understand things, I'm very sure that I would not have made it until today. Now, it's so important to be able to see. You know, anniversary is coming up. Next week is our anniversary. And how do we actually understand this in light of our own anniversary? You see, what has made Bethany a success all these years? For 52 years, Bethany not only has started, Bethany has grown, not only survived, but has become successful. What is the difference for our church? One, of course, it started with Pastor, who was able to capture that vision of what it means to develop a church according to how God has designed it. God's kind of church, where God is touching lives and people care for people. But along the way, people begin to join him in sharing that same vision, to be able to see truly, this is what a church should be. And you know what? The church has grown. What is the future then? And the future now is up to you. You are the new generation. You are the next generation. Are you also able now to see, to share the vision of the church? that one day you can also be part and to lead the church in your own right. Now that is so important. That is our anniversary celebration. That is being able to see. And you know, they said this has been so wonderfully challenging in more ways than one for me. And just inspiring, the word is. It's that I want to be a person who is able to one day see. I want to grow in my comprehension of the Lord, to see a vision of the Almighty, to see a vision from the Almighty, through His Word, of course. Now, that is my own personal challenge. Now, I remember I was just like you guys, as a student, struggling like anything, struggling in the next major examination. What could I see? Nothing much. Then I began to go to work. Also, struggles at work. Before even coming to work, struggles with, can I even get a job? And then struggle. And then, of course, I had to speak. Pastor, once again, he was always there to help. He said, what do you see? Rather than what kind of job you want first, what do you see of your life? What do you see of God? How do you understand all these things? And then bit by bit, of course, working. And they say, what else do you see in your life? And then that came the decision, perhaps I can be of some use to the Lord. Perhaps I can join the full-time ministry. And along the way, bit by bit, I am here today, serving, being part of the church, trying to learn what it means to truly see. And this, young people, is the message that we hope that you will take back with you. One day, can you be people who can see the Word of God for what it is? To be able to comprehend in such a deep way that it just changes you. And that you are absolutely just so, this is the Word of God. And you're able to see what the future holds as well. What is this idea of seeing? It is this, as we conclude. God is always powerfully carrying out His profound plans. Always. Now, our part is to see as God has revealed, to gain insight into what God is seeking to do. And then as we live accordingly, we can find success. We can find blessing. We can find His presence, not only just in the present, but also for the future. I hope this is something that as you think about it a bit more, as we celebrate our anniversary, this will be some of your thoughts as you desire, how can I grow further? How can I develop further? How can I be further involved in the church? One big part, can you see? Can you share in the same vision that we as a church have been developing all these years? Well, this is the challenge for all of us today. Okay? Well, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are just so deeply grateful for, once again, your word. And Father, we pray very much that we will learn a little bit more of what it means to see. We pray that you will open our eyes, that you open our ears, to help us understand, to comprehend at a deeper level who you are, what your word is, what your plans are, and what the future will be like. And Father, we just pray that you help each and every single one of us as we seek to understand you a little bit more in our personal lives, that you reveal yourself a bit more to us, and truly we can become so enriched because of it. And we just pray and just once again commit each and every single person in this worship into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, everyone, for being a part of this worship once again. So, as mentioned, next week we look forward to our anniversary. So, happy anniversary in advance. In the meantime, and what is my anniversary greeting for each one is that as a church, may we be able to see the Lord's hand and the Lord's work so much more. Okay? Okay, well, see you tomorrow.